Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. You can be a part of the program. You are listening live. You text into 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox and get in one of your questions or comments to the program. And of course, this hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your lower mainland, Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local lower mainland, Boston Pizza.
Pizza time.
You can head over, get some pizza time going, get your $5 pints of Molson or Coors Light. Watch the game from 4:30 till 7 tonight. Drink responsibly, of course, then pop on the Canucks Central post-game show on the way home.
Yeah, that'd be a nice evening. Nice way to cap it off.
It would be, especially with the phone calls Sat and Bick get most nights on the Canucks Central
real
post-game
Bick,
show.
But they're terrible.
The Canucks, I was going to say something, but you know what? They won last night.
It's good.
Kevin Lankinen was not terrible. I'll say that.
I'd say slightly better than terrible.
It's time for the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is Canucks Central, and this is where we give you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is, I have this feeling when Kevin Lankinen has a game like that, Sat, and it is in the back of my mind, I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, Canucks doing pretty well through the first 20 games of the season. Not bad at all, in a good spot, feeling pretty good about themselves, at least from a standings perspective. And then I'm like, where would they be if they hadn't signed Kevin Lankinen at the end of training camp in Penticton?
The question is, would they be 500 or under 500?
I mean, okay. So the Canucks are 11-6-3 on the season, right?
Yes.
And that is decent record in a playoff spot where you want to be this time of year. First checkpoint of the season is American Thanksgiving tomorrow. And of those 11 wins, Kevin Lankinen has 10 of them.
Yes. That's a lot of them.
That is quite a bit. He was playing so well, it was like they forgot Artur Shilov's existed. Now, yeah, that's a little harsh, but you know, he was and has been playing so much better than Artur Shilov's and has been so much more reliable than Artur Shilov's that he wrestled away the number one gig, was so good that Rick Tocchet could not go away from him, and is probably outside of Quinn Hughes the biggest reason the Canucks are in a positive position through these first 20 games of the season.
Yeah, and also a reminder of the form he showed earlier when the season began wasn't just a flash in the pan. It's something that he can find again. And the coach attributed a lot of it to getting some practice time and getting a little bit of rest as well. And it shows you that, especially for a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience as a starter before, the grind is not an easy thing. That's why it's so hard to be a number one starting goaltender in the NHL who plays 50-plus games and you're above average consistently. It's very difficult to do. And he hasn't done that before. But so far, that's the type of workload he's gotten with the Canucks. And I really think he's probably been worth, what, at least anywhere from four to six points for the Canucks. Like last night, they don't win that game if Shilov's the goal, right?
That is a stolen game by the goalie. And Kevin Woodley is going to join us here in a little bit, and we'll get his take on it. But you know, as far as labeling a game as the goalie stole you that one, there is no other game on the calendar this season where the Canucks have had a goalie steal them the 2 points in the way that Kevin Lankinen did last night. And I don't want to, you know, say that, you know, that win's not worth 2 points or there's like some big thing that the Canucks aren't going to be a good team for the remainder of the 62 games of the year. Like, we didn't learn that last night, but everybody knows watching that game, it's not a sustainable way of playing winning hockey in the National Hockey League. But there are nights over the course of the season where you're going to need your goalie to steal you a game. Last night was that for Lankinen. So that's 2 points. I think you look at the two Chicago games, and I know they're Chicago, but Lankinen had to be pretty good in both of those games. Well, I mean, Shilov's played the other one against Chicago, but that first game in Chicago, Lankinen was pretty good. The Canucks talked about it afterwards, How much they didn't love their game. They scored a bunch, so they outscored their opponent that night more than anything else. The 4-3 loss in overtime to Carolina. They don't have any chance of getting themselves back into that game if Lankinen isn't standing on his head for the first 30 minutes. Like, there's multiple games here that we're talking about where he's a big part of them even having a chance to win or get a point.
Yeah, so if you even want to be conservative in how many points you want to give him, let's say you give him 4 or 5. So that's still either 20 points in 20 games or 21 points in 20 games.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a 500 club if you don't have Lankinen so far, and has you in a position where you're not even that far off of where the Canucks were last year. Now, the Canucks were able to keep that going, but we haven't even seen, you know, the best version of this team so far. But they've had Lankinen at least through the beginning part of this season to rely on. And they haven't had the toughest schedule through the first 20 games, but they've still had enough challenging moments that it's not easy for you to just pick up 25 points, right? So you still have to give them credit for doing so, but they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Lankinen.
They'd be nowhere close. The Hockey Reference point share stat gives Lankinen 2.8
on
the season. So okay, he's been worth 2.8 points. It's just outside the top 10 for all goaltenders.
Right.
I feel like they're underselling it a little bit. And one of these things is like it takes the look of his whole 15 games. And the stretches of the games that he's lost, he was graded pretty poorly. Like the Edmonton game, when it got out of hand, you know, he led in a couple of real softies. That's going to really affect his advanced statistics. And we talked about this with Woodley. But that little stretch of where he was poor really affected some of what his numbers look like. But if you look at what he's been in the wins for the Vancouver Canucks, it's almost like, well, he's been everything for this team in those wins.
100%. One thing, it was funny because I was talking to Bick about this after the show last night, not to besmirch the public data on goaltending.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure how much stock I can put into it.
It's fair.
When they don't take into consideration some of the most important things for goaltending, and that is how much movement east or west happened before the shot happened, and you know what situation a shot came off. We know that stuff matters a lot as far as goaltending goes, and we talked to Woodley about this, and there are, you know, like sports logic and even more so clear sights analytics. I think they do a far better job in accurately depicting goaltending value and points attributed to it, so we'll get Woodley's thoughts to it. But even if it is, say, 3 to 4 points, the other thing you have to think of is, what other goaltending alternatives did you have? Let's say they did start the season with Shilovs and Patera.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting baseline goaltending? So let's say he's worth 3 points, right? The other point of this part of this is, what about the alternatives? Would they give you a baseline of, say, at least 500 or 0 points, which means your replacement, which is fine. If you get to replacement level, I think that's something that we talked about before. If your floor is replacement level, which is just being of an even player, so to speak, right?
Yep.
That has value because you're not hurting the team. That does have value. Do we have confidence that Shilovs would be at least replacement level, or would he be below that? And that's the thing I look at, because so far we didn't see anything from him. Patera obviously has the potential, but would you have even gotten decent enough goaltending to get you by if you didn't have Lankinen? So he might just be worth, say, 2 or 3 points, but how many points are you losing because you don't have good goaltending?
This one signing, I don't know. Is this a hot take? Kevin Lankinen is, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, one of the best offseason signings of any team in the National Hockey League. It's essentially saved the Canucks' first 20 games.
Yeah, it has. And it's I know there's been a lot of positives in front of him at times. The Canucks haven't defended poorly all year, right? The public data looks actually good for the Canucks, how they've defended. When you look at it a bit deeper, you see some of the trouble signs as far as rush chances and even how they play in front of their net at times. And we'll talk to Willie about this. But I think those are areas where they haven't even been as good this year. So you can't even say, well, Lankinen is a product of a great system in front of him. Because it's been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. They've had some good, but they've also had some bad. A lot more than they had at, say, this point last year.
You think about Shilovs in that first game against Edmonton, and it's like, okay. Then he gets his next start And essentially after that, Lankinen got on a hot streak and Shilov's was an afterthought.
Yeah.
I mean, Lankinen's won all these eight games during this eight-game road trip, right? Or eight-game win streak on the road. And he's been so good in a lot of those games. Last night was the best of those performances. But I just don't... I don't have confidence that they would have been able to weather this storm, weather some of the defensive troubles that they've had through the first bit of the season without the level of goaltending that Lankinen has given them. And just thinking off the top of my head, like, okay, Jake Guentzel's been a really good signing for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Chris Tanev, I think, has had the desired effect for the Toronto Maple Leafs in, in their start to the season. That was a really good signing this offseason. Jacob Markstrom has provided the goaltending that the New Jersey Devils have so long needed. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not like a slam dunk that Kevin Lankinen has been you know, one of the best signings of the offseason. But you think about the circumstances, where the Canucks were. They signed him at the end of the summer, less than $1 million, and their young goalie that they were counting on to have a certain level of success this year, take a step, hasn't taken that step early, and Lankinen is there to save the day. If the Canucks don't have that buffer, where is this team through 20 games? They're not where they currently sit, five games above 500.
I mean, they wouldn't be, I don't think, close to it. I think they'd be at least four or five points back, because I wouldn't have enough confidence in the net money behind it. And you're right. I mean, when you're paying a guy under $1 million and this is the goaltending you're getting, it's massive surplus value. And same thing goes for Kiefer Sherwood, right? We look at guys that are not making a lot of money being absolute big time home run additions. And then you have a guy like Brännström even, which is another layer of additions through the Poolman trade. He's making under $1 million and he's playing very solid for you on the back end, right? But I think Lankinen is probably the best bang for the buck free agent signing in the offseason, because I don't think anybody made an addition that was cost that little, making such a big impact so far.
It's given the Canucks a good amount of time to allow Demko to get healthy and into the lineup. That's huge for this team as well. Yeah. Now that Demko is getting near a return, that, you know, you can even allow Demko to maybe work through some rust coming out of the gate here if that happens, because you have somebody behind him that you trust and you feel really good about in Kevin Lankinen. So it's been a massive signing for the Vancouver Canucks, to say the least.
Omar and East Fan says, perhaps not the best signing all year, but dollar for dollar, Lanky has a case. And Mike says, Lankinen, the only guy that can compete with Lankinen is Sherwood. Fair.
So only Vancouver Canucks signings in the offseason were actually good.
Might be biased from our listeners.
Maybe. But I don't know. It is Canucks Central, so it's, you can make it's
a
possible.
But you can, dollar for dollar, you can make a case for it.
Dollar for dollar, it would be, yeah, it would be hard. Between those two, I mean, they've both provided pretty incredible value for the Canucks early on this season. Both came over from the Nashville Predators, who, despite beating the Canucks last week, I'd say are not enjoying the offseason that they had with the big splashes they made.
So that's where the points went.
They went to the Canucks with Kevin Lankinen and Kiefer Sherwood. So we look at the Canucks now through the lens of 20 games. When we get to tomorrow, Canucks obviously playing Pittsburgh today, but tomorrow the Canucks will hit the first checkpoint of the season, American Thanksgiving, and they'll be in a playoff spot no matter what happens today by American Thanksgiving, a spot you want to be in. If you compare it to last year, and last year ended up being an unbelievable year for the Canucks, 109 points at the 20 game mark, the Canucks only 2 points back of last year's record. They were 13-6-1 last year. This year they are 11-6-3. Do we know what the ceiling is for this team? Have we seen it yet? Where are we at if we grade this team through 20 games?
I think we would be what? I think honestly, it's been more than positive when you look at it, considering that we haven't even seen anything close to the team ceiling.
Yeah.
I think the negative view is what they've shown so far is nothing near being a contender. By the public data, again, they've actually looked good. If you look at their expected goals for percentage, they're like top five in the league. So by that metric, they look good. But I don't think they've shown on the ice that their ceiling is a contender so far this season.
They're not always passing the eye test.
Right. And I don't think they've also executed well enough against the better teams. Mm-hmm. They haven't played tough enough teams yet for us to be able to make that assertion that they've looked like a contender. They haven't looked like a contender yet. But you can look at that positively and say, well, that means you're 20 games in, you have 25 points, you're only 2 points back of where you were at this point last season. And you've yet to have your full team healthy. Demko hasn't come back yet. Besser's trying to get up to speed. Joshua's trying to get up to speed. Pettersson is finally getting out of that the funk that went through last season, right? JT Miller, obviously we haven't seen the best of him so far this year. And a number of guys on the back end, Susie and Myers, haven't seen anywhere near the best of those guys so far.
Yeah.
They've been carried by a lot of role players. We just talked about Lankinen, and we spoke about Sherwood, and even DeBrusk coming along now, scoring some goals. And they've kind of done it by committee so mm-hmm. far with their scoring, right? But they haven't shown that their ceiling is all that high yet, but that's because we haven't seen them at their full strength. So I think it's positive that so far, considering where we are in the standings, that this team has a chance to show us that they're greater than what they've done so far, and you can make a good argument for that happening.
It's like to contrast it with last year. Last year, everything went right for this team. Everything went right for the Canucks. Everybody was healthy. Everybody was going. Your PDO was through the roof. You were shooting the lights out. You know, you were scoring on, what was it? Like when we looked at it in the offseason, like 33% of their rush chances through the first half of the season. It was something insane, right? This year, you could argue a lot has gone wrong for the Canucks, and they're still finding ways to collect points and put themselves in a decent position going into the real meat of the season. So I still look at that as a positive. In the overall, I think if you are coming out on a negative viewpoint of this team through the first 20 games, my personal estimation is you're being a little too harsh and not taking in the full picture of what has gone on with Pettersson's slow start and all those that you mentioned. The injuries that they've gone through, all of that. For as much as Connor Garland's start to the season has been great, and he has been the team's most consistent forward, you could easily make that argument. Last night, you know, I heard you and Bick talking about it, how he was, without a shadow of a doubt, the best skater for the Canucks mm-hmm. and ends up scoring the empty netter, was full value for the performance that he put in his hometown. Well, his hometown near Boston,
yeah.
But basically his hometown game. It's one of those things, though, if we're sitting here at the end of the season and Connor Garland is still in the conversation for who was the Canucks' best forward all season long, I'm not sure that's good for the Canucks. Like, it's great for Connor Garland. I'm not sure it shows you where the ceiling is of this team. It's like the old Torts comment on David Booth. Like, that's good for David Booth, not good for us as a team. Like, you want to see Connor Garland continue to have success. He's elevated himself into a conversation of like, hey, this guy's like a part of the core now, but ultimately you're still going to need the star players on this team to get back to their level for this team to reach its ultimate potential as a squad.
Yeah, 100%. As far as, yes, I mean, he can't be your best skater or at least your best forward. We know Hughes, obviously, with the season he's had, he can't be your best forward 20 games in, right?
Yeah.
But thank goodness he has been your best skater and he's taken a step,
because
if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. So I think, unlike the Booth situation, Booth could never sustain anything up the lineup for the Canucks. Garland can and has, and he's really helped drive this team so far this year. And it's a testament to some of the depth they do have. So for all the negatives, right, as far as, yes, they haven't had their star guys going, they do have enough depth now with a guy like Garland that he can help you through. He can drive your team at least for a spell. He can't do it for 82 games and expect this team to be a contender. There's no way.
Yeah.
Where would you be without Garland right now when you've had all the other struggles for your key forwards?
Similar to Lankinen, you know, where would you be without the performance that this guy has given you to this point of the year? That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I mean, Garland got his sixth goal last night, and then seven Canucks are now tied for the team lead with six goals. You know, so
offense
like,
by committee.
It has really been, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice to see DeBrusk get going now. DeBrusk all of a sudden is on what, a 24, 25 goal pace, which looks all a lot better all of a sudden. You know, it's really amazing how a few goals can change things early in the season as far as how you feel about where a guy is at.
But well, even people that were chirping me for projecting him for 30 goals, I mean, he's on pace for like 24 now.
Yeah, so 24, 25. Like he might, I mean.
He's right on the pace. He's close, very close to the pace.
20 games in, he has a chance.
Yeah.
He can get 24 goals in the next 62 games. Will he do it? I don't know. But it's not outrageous to score 24 goals in 62 games.
It happens a lot. Guys go through stretches where they're not scoring much and other stretches where they are scoring a ton. So there's a lot to like there with what Garland has done and what this team has done through 20 games. There's still a lot that they can improve on. I think we all can agree on that. All right, in the Canucks Central roundup, a couple of things worth noting here. Looks like it'll be Artur Shilovs tonight. I'm not sure we've seen confirmation of that just yet, but I believe it will be Artur Shilovs against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Rick Dhaliwal, earlier on Canucks Talk during the crossover, mentioned he believes JT Miller will be back for the Columbus game, which is December 6th, the first game back from this road swing that the Canucks are currently on. So if you're looking for some hope on JT Miller's return to the lineup, Rick Dhaliwal was there to provide it today.
Yeah, and promising. I'm at the point, like I said yesterday, I've always been careful putting a timeline on things like this. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he comes back soon. He'll be back before the end of the season, obviously. And it's good to hear that maybe it does happen against the Blue Jackets.
And another thing that's gotten a lot of talk today and even last night on the post game, I saw you commenting on X and Blue Sky about it. Nils Höglander playing 7 minutes last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where would I like to see him get some power play time,
mm-hmm.
especially when Baines is getting power play time on the second unit? I'd say yes. It's not like Baines is doing far better, but what Baines does is play to the team's staples, which a coach loves, mm-hmm. right? And when you dig into Höglander's, say, shot metrics, they're positive.
Yep.
But the mistakes he makes in the critical moments are reasons why he's where he's at. He's been on the ice, we've mentioned this yesterday, for more 5-on-5 goals per 60 than any regular on this team. You know, so it's a lot of goals. Like 13 have gone
in. There's a lot of breakdowns there.
Right. And we talked about one point last night and he got under 8 minutes. And sometimes I get it. I mean, you want to see the guy play more. Would I like to see him get a few shifts up the lineup from time to time? Yeah, I would, because I think he brings a spark and can do things. But then you see him do things like last night. It was in the second period where he actually makes a good play. It's in the defensive zone. He makes a good play on a Bruins player, steals a puck from him off the wall and brings it back in. And he has options. So he has one skater in front of him about 4 or 5 feet away. He can actually rim the puck back. I know the mm-hmm. coach doesn't want him to reset, but there's an option because he has numbers behind the net, or he can make a simple chip out, right? What does he decide to do? He decides to try to dangle the guy in front of him. The worst choice he can make, loses the puck. Mm-hmm. Now he's lucky the guy who stole the puck from him didn't go straight to the net because the puck kind of bounced off of him a bit, but he stole the puck from him and it became a bit like another 20, 30 seconds in the Canuck zone.
Yeah.
You do stuff like that, a coach in the NHL, when you're not playing well offensively, and then he's not going to trust you. And mm-hmm. when you're allowing goals, and it's not always his fault, but when you go through every breakdown, you can find a reason where he was involved in it. And I think those things have to improve before he plays more.
He is averaging the fewest minutes of any regular Canuck forward. So that means the only Canuck forwards averaging fewer minutes per game than Nils Höglander, Daniel Sprong, Arshdeep Baines, Nils Åman, Atu Ratu, and Max Sassen. So kind of tells you where Nils Höglander is in the pecking order for Rick Tocchet right now. We'll see how that ends up tonight on the second half of a back-to-back. When we come back, we'll get to overrated, underrated, and Kevin Woodley still to come on Canucks Central as we have a Clayton Public House read that I have not seen in the rundown. There it is, the Clayton Public House, pregame to postgame. The Clayton Public House is your home of football. Catch all the action on 15 screens and 2 giant projectors. TheClaytonPub.com, one of our favorite spots. Try the steak sandwich. You won't be disappointed.
It is absolutely incredible.
And a big spot for the Super Bowl as well. It is Canuck Central on Sportsnet 650.